We turn to Psalm 18, verse 28, as we study this next name, Jehovah Elohei, the Lord my God. The Lord my God. So notice that is in this verse, and we're going to be thinking about that. We'll look at the broader parts of the psalm, not all of it, but verse 28 will be our focus. Hear now the word of God. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I want to read it again and ask you if you can relate to this verse, if you can feel this verse for yourself, if you can think of it for the past, if you can sense it for yourself right now in your present, looking to the future, whatever you're going through, however you're feeling, can you say these words for yourself, especially the Lord, my God? For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Names of God series. We've gone more personally recently from the Lord our God to the Lord thy God. But now we get more personally still. The Lord my God. Jehovah Elohei, the Lord my God. And whether or not you can truly say for yourself, the Lord my God, has everything to do with where you will be for eternity. You need to be able to say and know for yourself that you have a personal relationship with God, a personal, individual, distinct, though overlapping and related to others, not dependent upon them, your own relationship with God. That is vital. I shared with you recently about a lady that Fernanda and I were talking with. She was sharing her personal testimony, and she spoke about God's sovereign grace and how amazed she was. And she spoke about it had to be the work of the Holy Spirit. There's something else she said. I don't know that I shared it with you, and it strikes me tonight to think about it. She talked about when she first became a Christian at, I believe it was 12 years old, by the witness of one of her friends. And when she came home to witness to her family, I believe her brother, among some siblings, was one to believe with her still to this day. Others, I think, possibly expressed some kind of interest, but it fell. What was particularly striking was the response of her mother. Her mother's response to her daughter was, God is a crutch. She was a professed atheist and discouraged her daughter to believe in God. But she shared also that this same woman, her mother, seriously abused alcohol all her life. And then she took her own life. Beloved, you will lean on someone. You are leaning on someone. Let it be God. For help in this life and to have eternal life, let it be God. Indeed, let God be your crutch. When you know God personally, God sheds light into your personal darkness. I submit that to you as the idea of our verse tonight. You need to be able to say the Lord, my God, to be saved from darkness and into light, both now and in eternity. And when you know God personally, David proclaims to us, God sheds light into your personal darkness. It's what happens. David has a lamp, and God lights it, and that is why it shines through David's personal darkness. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. My darkness. He has his own darkness. It's his. It's personal. It's not someone else's darkness. His sins, the sins of others. We'll look at the context in a moment. And it is the Lord who is his light, his God, that sheds light, that breaks light through and delivers him. The word for darkness in the Hebrew has often this just this idea of guilt. You could almost translate it, it would seem, sad situation. And really, darkness, obviously, just like light, is meant to be a metaphor. It is the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world, that brings light into my darkness when he is my shepherd, when he is my God. And nothing and no one else can ever do that for me. And David is saying, because the Lord is my God, everything changes. He's speaking of victory, incredible conquering. Because, why? Because the Lord is his God. I mean, look at the title itself at the beginning. You might have other titles in italics, but what is part of the original Masoretic text, the Hebrew Bible, the original Hebrew, is we consider part of the Bible. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Now look at the context. The servant of the Lord who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, so this whole psalm is celebrating victory, deliverance, salvation from really serious dangers and difficulties. This whole psalm is just proclaiming God for being his God. And because he is his God, he is delivered. He is saved. His darkness can be reached and overcome. God personally rescues David through his personal crises. And that is his developing testimony of his relationship. A little while ago in the names of God, we saw how God delivered Jacob, and so he's the God of Israel, God the God of Israel. God develops our identity in him as he delivers us through things. He develops our relationship with him, you see. So David's talking about being delivered by God, and these things are evidence of his relationship with God. But he's really talking about it more of, I'm so glad God is my God, and that's why I've had these deliverances. But you have to know him as my God for this to be true. You can't just be someone else's God. You can't sit in church and simply think it's going to rub off on you like osmosis. No, the personal Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit has to be in you, has to redeem you, has to put light into your darkness, has to be personally in you to shine light and make you part of the light of the world. It has to be personal. David knows God personally. He speaks of my God, and he speaks of what it is like to have God as his God. He extols his personal relations with God. Speaking of our God, speaking of thy God, isn't enough for David. He can't help but sing of Jehovah Elohai, Elohei, the Lord my God. Whereas we often sing in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. That personal attention and care and relating of shepherd and the sheep. And if you remember the four-part series through Psalm 23, it's very personal, it's very intimate, it's very involved. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my God. Herbert Lockyer, in his book on the names and titles of God, he points out that this name, Jehovah Elohei, quote, points to the personal pronoun, the word my, points to the personal pronoun as being expressive of a personal faith in the God of power. Whenever it is used, it is in the individual sense and not a general one, as in the Lord our God. See, the visible church speaks of the Lord our God, and the true invisible church in the new heavens and earth and in heaven now speaks of the Lord our God consistently head for head. But the visible church on earth speaks of the Lord our God. Not necessarily every person can say, however, the Lord my God. And that makes all the difference. Indeed, salvation is not ordinarily outside of the visible church, but it is never going to be there in any extraordinary way. It'll never be there if you can't say the Lord my God. And again, see some of the ways David describes God with the word my. He talks about God with the word my in the psalm and other places just to develop this idea, or really he starts with it. And notice the ways that he personally benefits. I'd really like to read the whole psalm with you tonight. It's just amazing the way he talks about all these deliverances and these mighty things that God's doing in his life. I'm going to encourage you to go home tonight and read it for yourself. Pray that this would become more and more your testimony in your life as you face your difficulties that you need deliverance from. And may you face it with the words of Psalm 18, verse 28, with confidence. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He's speaking that in part from his personal experience already. You can face the next one. You will light my candle, Lord my God. You will enlighten my darkness. But let's look at how he talks about the Lord my God with that personal pronoun my elsewhere in the psalm. And though there's a lot more we can be reading about all these benefits, let's look at the benefits attached to what we read, speaking of the Lord my God in other ways. Just go right to the beginning of the psalm, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. This is one thing we have to remember. If you have a personal relationship with God, you have a supernatural strength that you wouldn't have had otherwise. And I'm not talking about the kinds of ridiculous things we see in movies. I'm talking about the ability to be content. Wow. You see that in movies? No. That's an unbelievable power few have. But Paul has said, I've learned how to be content in everything because of Jesus Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my strength. I will love thee, Lord. You are my strength. You are my strength. I don't have strength. I couldn't have survived this, but because of you, my personal strength, I am strong. Verse 2. Now notice this. 8 times we see the word my. You see this emphasis on it's got to be personal. You need to be able to say this for yourself about God, or you don't have him, and then you have nothing. Because you want to be able to go to heaven, or rather at judgment day, and say, there's my God, I already know him personally. And he opens the door, come on in. He won't say, I never knew you. Because you've already known him. That's the difference. If you know the Son and the Father whom has sent him, that's how you are with him all your life in eternity. If you don't know him as your God, when judgment day comes or your death comes before, you will be sent into eternal darkness simply by whether or not you can say my before the word God. Where are you right now? 8 times. Notice this in verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Another idea of strength and security. Seen some videos recently, I believe in California, if not other places, and when it might not have been this year, but they were talking about when significant waves have come in, unprecedented or unusual amount of water coming in further than it usually did. You see these houses that are tottering over. Some of them have fallen on these cliffs of sand. And of course, you can't help but think about the parable, the story Jesus gives of build your house on the rock. Him, the rock. If you do, you're going to survive the storm. If you don't, when the storms come, you are going to be devastated. You're not going to last. And storms are coming. So the Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. That's an idea of strength and protection again. He's my fortress. I have protection because of my God. He's surrounding me with his angels. He's ensuring my path unto heaven. You can think of the proverb, I believe also 18, that we've looked at before. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's the idea of a fortress. The righteous run into it and are safe. He's also my deliverer. In verse 2, we can think about that as we pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. He is my deliverer. And he's speaking of that very experience. He has delivered me from the attacks of Saul. He's, again, my God. He's my strength. And he's already said that in verse 1. In whom I will trust, my buckler, that's like a shield to protect from arrows and other attacks. He's my defense. And he is the horn of my salvation, Jesus Christ. And he is my high tower. There it is also, my high tower. You see all these lofty ideas of God, all these senses of protecting us from the attacks of Satan and the world, darkness, attacks of Satan speaking dark things into our minds and our choosing to listen to them, when instead we can say, the Lord is my strength, he's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, my God, my strength, I'll trust him. He's my buckler, he's the horn of my salvation, he is my high tower. Get thee behind me, Satan. Verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You see that personal relationship. He heard me. You know, when I hear our newborn son cry, especially his mother, when she hears him cry, sometimes she can hear it. Mothers have this ability to hear through concrete walls. It's amazing, you know. Sometimes I'm like, I didn't hear that, you know. But when you hear your baby cry, you immediately are to the rescue. You recognize their voice. Sometimes in a store, I might think, that's someone else's child. But most of the time, you can distinguish. You just have an ear for your children's voice. And you don't turn a deaf ear to it. Why? Because they are yours. And you are theirs. So he says, he's my God, therefore, when I cry out to him, he hears me. He doesn't leave me. He listens to me. He responds to me personally because I have a personal relationship with him. Look at verse 18. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He was my way of making it. He's my foundation. He kept me afloat. He's my stay. I clung to him. And that's why I didn't drown. Our second youngest still insists that it's dad who takes him around in the pool, or in this case, the hot tub, because there was no way I was going into that pool. It was too cold. But we go to the hot tub recently. And he wants to put his arms around my neck, and I take him around, and he feels safe. But you try to get him to move without doing that, and he's very afraid, and he should be right now. He's still learning to swim. But when he can put his arms around his dad, his personal relationship there, he's safe. He's our stay. God is the same. We can cling to the Lord. We don't think about it. We don't rationalize. We just grab onto him and trust him to take us through the waters. Does he not tell us in Isaiah that he goes with us through the waters? Verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Again, my God, personal pronoun. How did I do this? I've run through a troop. Now think about that. Just, I can't help but think of the young boys here. Here's an opportunity to take home an image for you to enjoy thinking about God. I'm just thinking about the way they like to play. a troop. Think about this army, this troop of men that seem impenetrable. You would actually want to run away from them. But because of God, you can run up to them and right through them like a bowling ball through a bunch of pins. Smash through them. Think about that. Run through because of my God. Without my God, I can't do that. But with my God, I can. Then he speaks of, I've leapt over a wall. I encourage you, think about that, boys, when you're running around and jumping. Have this psalm that we've sung, I overleaped a wall. Because of my God. Because of my God, I can do these things that I couldn't do otherwise. I can persevere. I can survive. I can even thrive. Because of my God. Not because of myself, but because of my God. Beloved, just with that survey of the use of the personal pronoun my and those ideas of how he experiences these things with my God, can you say these things? If we were to read back through these verses, is this your testimony? Can you say these things in some way? Do you talk like this about God? Do you talk about your relationship with God? This is something I think we need to be challenged by. The Puritans certainly would be driving this home. But in the Reform world, we can kind of distance ourselves. I was talking with a man at the tournament who is also a pastor, much more senior than myself, and we were talking about things, and he expressed it's important. He described himself as Reformed, and it's important to be studying the important doctrines. But he says, as I get older, I recognize it's so important just to make sure in the ministry for myself and others, we're just working on our personal relationship with God. I didn't try to qualify that. I said, I know what you mean. There can be such a danger in talking theology and quoting names and putting up a facade, but not really being able to express these kinds of things and talk about my God. We can talk about God all the time. We can talk about his attributes. We can talk about his names. But we might not really know him by these names. We can talk all about God. We can talk theology, and I'm not discrediting any of that. I'm going to be examined for the next 2 days on it, but it's not outside or disconnected from practical aspects of life, of course. We have to be careful that we don't have this distant, disattached idea of being Christ's or his being ours. So listen to yourselves. Do you talk about God in your life? Do you talk about what he's doing in your life? Is it natural to speak about my God? Just like our children very easily, without hesitation, talk about my dad. That same son, a year or two ago, when we were sitting outside waiting on the girls with their speech and debate training Monday nights, some of the little kids got together and they wanted to give their own speeches, and I was the one to listen and be the judge outside in a gazebo, you know. And it was cute. The same son started giving his speech about swimming, but all had to do about how his dad helps him swim. You know, you just can't help yourself. When you have this personal relationship and the faith of a child, for such is the kingdom of heaven, you just talk about it. You're expressive of it. You rejoice in it. How often do we talk about God as our God, as my God? How much do we talk about what God is doing in my life right now? If someone asks you, what's God doing in your life right now? What will be your answer? Will it sound like this? You can tell the difference when somebody's making it up, by the way. They'll eventually start to talk more in the third person or turn it around to the second person, but the first person goes away rather quickly. In particulars. Are these your kinds of experiences? Oh, maybe you're not literally being tracked down by a king to kill you and slaughter you. But can you speak of these experiences of deliverance, these kinds of things where God has gotten you through darkness? Can you say, the Lord will light my candle because he's my God, and he will light my darkness because he's done it before, and he'll do it again? Let me tell you how God got me through a very dark day in my life, because he's my God. And even when I don't handle it well all the time, he still helps and delivers me even from myself because he's my God. Can you give that testimony to others? That's the kind of testimony that will have people coming to meet Jesus Christ. Or do these kinds of things that David is describing sound foreign to you? Is it possible, if they do, that you might be a foreigner to him? To know the Lord as my God is to experience him personally affecting your person, personally affecting your personal path and your personal plans. Knowing God means talking with him. Knowing God means walking with him. And finding out how his presence with you in your personal life makes all the difference along your way. Nobody else can pray for you. No one else can be God for you. Only God can. And it has to be truly, you can say, my God about God. This psalm is a psalm of personal victory, personal deliverance. David knows for himself what it is to be delivered out of horrible things because of his God, because of my God. You see, personally knowing God, as my shepherd, is enlightening. It is empowering. It is liberating. Think of all the other names that we've been learning about God. How could this not be so? It doesn't mean there are not setbacks. David knew his setbacks. Doesn't mean there are not times of despair. Almost every psalm starts that way. But when you come to God as my God, he changes it, he turns it around, and it ends always with light. Can you speak about God as my God like that? Are you enjoying his personal presence? Are you enjoying a relationship with him and how it is personally affecting you in mighty ways all the time through your darkest of days? Beloved, your chief end is to glorify God, but it's also to enjoy God along the way. Certainly, it'll be easy in eternity, but it'll be complete, but already to enjoy God. Look how David is enjoying God. He's my deliverer. He's my fortress. He's my buckler. He's my rock. He's my deliverer. Yeah! You know, there's a sense of, yeah, I can't lose. Yes, I have victory. This is what it is to have God, El Elyon, El Shaddai, as my God. Not just our God, because I sit next to you in the pew. You can all say that together, the Lord is our God, and we should. Not just to receive that you should do things because he's the Lord, thy God, in the plural idea of things, though as one. But you personally, you go out the door, and you walk through this week with God as my God. That's the difference. That's the distinction of whether or not God will be your God forever in heaven or your idols will be yours forever with the devil in hell. And those are your only options, beloved. There's no other option. Whether or not you want to deal with God or not. You don't want to have the words of Christ on the cross for yourself for eternity. Though in an empty, vain way, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you can't talk like the psalm in any meaningful, sustainable way, maybe you use this name, the Lord my God, in vain. Maybe you do not enjoy a personal relationship with God. If the Lord is driving that home to you who have ears to hear right now, then let me invite you to begin this relationship tonight. If you do have this relationship with God, but you're personally lacking fruit of the Spirit, and do we not all to one degree or another, then, beloved, keep growing this relationship. And as a newlywed, I am reminded, as I thought about this, building a relationship takes work, deliberate effort, lots of communication. If you want a growing personal relationship with someone, if this is what you have with God, you do not want it to be stagnant, where Christ threatens to vomit you out of his mouth or close your light. You want it to be growing in heat or refreshingly cool by virtue of spending time on such things. Both of those sides of the relationship involve energy to produce. Lukewarm comes easy. It also produces mold. It also rots. It also ends up showing not my God. Grow the relationship. And for both, whether you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this evening, whether you need to trust in God truly for the first time this evening as your God to deliver you in Himself through a personal relationship with Him, or whether you need to, who would say we don't, you need to grow in this relationship with God and your personal experience with Him in the kind of effort and devotion and communication and closeness that does that. Let me encourage you with verse 30 to be what can be true for you. David says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." God is a shield to all those who trust in Him. As Christ has said, "Whoever comes to me, I will not turn away." So the natural question is, how will you respond to the invitation? How will you respond to the call? He says, "I will not turn anyone away who trusts in me. I will be a shield to every single one who trusts in me." Will you be able to say that for yourself as you walk out this evening? Repent and believe, for today is the day of salvation. And may you respond to Jesus just like doubting Thomas, whose eyes and mouth and heart were opened when he said, "My Lord and my God." You know, sometimes we are asked if we know someone, and we a lot of times might have to say, "No, I don't know who you're talking about." Or we might say, "Well, I know who you are speaking of, but I don't know them personally. I've not met them. I may be a slight acquaintance, passing shoulders in a room, but I don't actually know the person. They don't know me." But when we really know someone well, we quickly, we talk about them from our personal experiences with them, and we know all their various names and all the variations of them. From spending time together. That's another kind of a fun thing of working on the relationship. It's interesting how you with your loved ones, your children, and with your spouses, you come up with all these new names, you know, often based on the experience and the circumstance of the moment. And some of these names stick, you know. And may you so know God like the latter and not the former. May it not be that you say, well, I know of God, but I don't actually personally know him. I can't say the Lord my God, if I'm frank with you. May instead you be able to say, I know the Lord my God, and let me tell you what he has done for me. If you can say more and more truly for yourself, the Lord my God, not only will you know his amazing grace for you and have eternal life in heaven and not fear the fires of hell, but also it will be amazing for you along the way. Look at what God did with David. Think of all the difficulties and look at all the deliverances, because he was a man after God's own heart. And he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my God. So he has brought his light into my darkness. Indeed, for the first time or more than ever before, beloved, may you enjoy a personal relationship with God. May you be able to be responding to Jehovah Elohe, the Lord, my God, and use that personal pronoun for your personal self in relation to the God of the universe who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bring salvation to all who would trust in his death on the cross and his life on this earth for themselves. So not only could they say, my God, but together, our Father. Let us pray. Lord, may it be that we all can walk out of here this evening saying that we enjoy a personal relationship with you, and that it wouldn't just be words, empty words with not a whole lot of other words of things like this that David talks about. Oh, Lord, you have allowed us to be in many difficulties. Please give us the testimony of your deliverances, seeing us through as my God, my Father's God, and my God. And as Jacob was so glad to say as he gave the name to the altar, God, the God of Israel, what he was saying is, God is my God, because he had been sent away in discipline. And he said, if I ever get to be back here, I'll know that God is my God. Lord, let us know that you are my God, even by delivering us from ourselves and our own sins. Deliver us from this world and the attacks of Satan. We know we must suffer much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God, but let us experience that you are delivering us through that tribulation as we speak. Give us a witness to the world that there's nothing more important in life than to be able to say, the Lord, my God, with many personal experiences of your personal work in our life. We pray to the three persons of the one triune God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Be in us and with us each personally, we pray. Let each of us have a personal relationship with you, for this is eternal life. Let us not be content to play games and quote others who can say this for themselves and follow and rub shoulders with others who can say this for themselves, but never really say it for ourself, for myself. Never have this kind of testimony. Lord, we love you, our good shepherd and our God, the God of Israel, almighty God, most high God, Jehovah, the Lord, our banner, the Lord, our shepherd. We love you, Jehovah Elohim, Adonai. Lord, let us revisit all the names and love to know you more personally. May it be that this time, as we've been studying your names, not be in vain, not take you in vain, but may we be thinking about and praying with you and talking and walking about with you, saying, ah, I hadn't known that was one of your names. Just as we ask each other, you have any nicknames? What's your middle name? What's your mother's maiden name? What name do you prefer to be called by? What does your name mean? Does it have a meaning? Lord, let us be thinking about these things, and let us particularly have all that in view in our hearts, thinking about all these things, and be blessed to say that all that we've learned of you, we can say the Lord is my God. And watch as we overleap walls and run through troops of the adversary on our way to victory as more than conquerors, truly. For if God is our God and Christ is our Lord, if God is my God and Christ is my Lord and King, then nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I have peace. I have peace with God. I have the Holy Spirit in my heart. And I hear him speaking to me even now. I have Jesus Christ as my Savior who intercedes for me in heaven. And my life is hid with him right now in heaven. He's coming to raise me from the dead, to give me a new holy body, to let me inherit the earth and all things. He's preparing a room for me in his Father's house. Lord, let us identify as your children. Let us be blessed to behold your love for calling us your children. We can call you our Father and my God. And as we read in the end of 1 John this evening, oh Lord, help us to keep ourselves from idols, to keep our heart and minds free of all those other persons and things, even places that would be in the stead of our God. We confess our hearts are idol factories. Protect us from effectively, practically saying something or someone else is my God. And we find ourselves ending in death and despair, undelivered. We lift up the name of the Lord our God. We run into it and are safe. Thankful to lay our head on our pillow tonight and pray to my God and my shepherd and enjoy that. No one can take you away from us wherever we find ourselves. If you are our God, you who are everywhere and sees all and knows all things, you who see us, you who sees me, Lord, let us indeed enjoy you. Let us enjoy a personal, developing, growing relationship with you as my God. Let it change us, and let it change the world. We beg you, Lord, that you would do a work of the Spirit and let many others from the world be saved out of its wickedness, as 1 John 5 said as well tonight. Bring them into light. Bring them into the hope of glory because they know the Lord, my God. For truly, if we know you like this, we will not be able to keep it to ourselves. Oh Lord, develop our relationship with you that you would use us to introduce others into a relationship with you, a true, saving, personal one. Let them know you with a personal pronoun. Singular, that it would make all the difference in the world, all the difference in the worlds to come. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and my Lord, and all your people who can say, the Lord my God said, Amen.